Bibles with you this afternoon. I'll ask you to turn with me to the book of the Lamentations, chapter number 3. Book of the Lamentations, chapter number 3. Now, Lamentations is a short book, and it's kind of a tough one to find. But if you'll find that great big book of Jeremiah, if you'll find Jeremiah, you'll go to the end of it, you'll run into Lamentations. Jeremiah, and then Lamentations, and then Ezekiel. If you can find one of those two big books, right in the middle will be the book of Lamentations. And I want you to go to the middle of the book of Lamentations, which is the third chapter. And we'll read three verses out of the middle of this middle chapter. And so we'll see right, I guess, what we could call the heart of the book of Lamentations. It's the middle chapter, the middle of the chapter. And see if we can't see something that God wants us to see tonight. If you'd like to stand for a moment, you can. I'll read three verses. We'll pray and then give you the message for tonight. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. Jeremiah said, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Father, I pray that you'd help us in these next few moments. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The book of the Lamentations is the lamentation of the prophet Jeremiah. We know that Jeremiah was referred to as the weeping prophet. And if you read through the first, especially first three chapters of the book of Lamentations, you'll discover one of the great reasons in which he is called the weeping prophet. Time and time again you read where his eyes fill with tears over the sins of the people of Israel and the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. The book of Jeremiah was a message to the nation of Israel given before the destruction of Babylon. The people of God had turned their backs on God. They had turned to strange gods. They had forsaken the old paths and forsaken the principles of God. And therefore God called upon Jeremiah to stand before the people and to confront them with their sin. Jeremiah writes in the book of Jeremiah and he confronts them with their wickedness. And he says over and over again, Babylon is coming, Nebuchadnezzar is coming, listen to the word of God. Now when he writes the book of Lamentations, he stands in the middle of a destroyed city. And as the city smolders around him, his eyes once again fill with tears and he speaks. Like so many times, the message of the prophet was rejected and these people continued in their rebellion. I thought about Jeremiah as God sends him down to the potter's house in Jeremiah chapter 18. And there he sees the potter working with a vessel on the wheel. And the Bible says that the vessel is marred in the potter's hands. But because it is moldable and it is pliable, he does not throw it away, but he continues to work it and mold it. And he gets that hardness out of it and makes it into a vessel of honor. But in chapter 19, he once again goes down to the potter's house. And this time he finds a hardened vessel, a vessel that cannot be molded and cannot be remade. And Jeremiah stands before the nation and says, "This is how God views you," and he throws it down and breaks it in their sight. You see, they had gotten to the place where God could not mold them and God could not work with them. They were too stiff-necked and they were too hard, and so God had no other choice than to break them. In B.C. 605, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians invaded Judah for the very first time. At this time, they took the noblest of the Jews and they carried them away captive. It was in this time period that men like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah were carried away into Babylon. The army of the Babylonians returned in March of 597 B.C., This time they looted Jerusalem. They took the most precious things from the temple. They came back one more time in January 588 B.C.
This time they formed an impenetrable wall around the city of Jerusalem of soldiers. Nothing could get in and nothing could get out. And the people inside of the city started to starve to death. Finally, in August of the next year, Nebuchadnezzar sends his troops over the walls. They tear down the walls of Jerusalem. They destroy the temple and they set the city on fire. When Jeremiah writes the book of Lamentations, he's standing in the midst of that destroyed city. The walls have fallen in around him. The temple has been destroyed. Probably their homes are still smoldering in the distance. And as Jeremiah stands in the street, he begins to lament. As you read the book of Lamentations, it's almost reading a eulogy at a funeral. It's interesting, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, and chapter 5 all contain 22 verses. In fact, if you study these chapters, you'll discover that chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 4 are all written as an acrostic. Jeremiah takes the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet and he writes, beginning with the first letter down to the last letter, 22 verses. It would almost be like me starting with A and working to Z and giving a lamentation with A and a lamentation with B and C and on down the line. That's what he does in chapter 1, 2, and 4. Chapter number 3 is the only one that is different. It is the only one that does not contain 22 verses. It contains 66. He does not break from his acrostic form. He still continues to do that. But now he doubles it up. You could say it this way. There's 3 verses with A and 3 verses with B and 3 verses with C. He is writing this in this rhythmic fashion so they could remember and memorize these lamentations. As he begins to write in chapter 3 and he's lamenting the city of Jerusalem and he's lamenting the fall of the nation and he's lamenting the difficulties and the hardships, right smack dab in the middle of the chapter, in the midst of his struggle, in the midst of his difficulty, he stops and says, I recall to my mind and I have hope. Because the mercy of God is not consumed. Because His compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Amen. We see a testimony of hope right in the midst of sorrow. Tonight I want to preach on this thought. In hardship, there's still hope. In hardship, there's still hope. I want you to write 3 things down. I'll give them to you quickly. Number 1, I want you to see Jeremiah's condition. Jeremiah's condition. Look in verse number 1 of chapter 3. Jeremiah says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he has turned. He turneth his hand against me in all the days. This chapter begins with Jeremiah lamenting for himself. He has been faithful to preach the word of God to his neighbors and his family in Jerusalem for 40 years. It was undoubtedly a difficult 40 years. Can you imagine preaching to the same congregation for 40 years and never having one convert? But he continued to preach and he continued to be faithful and he continued to do what God had called him to do. And now the very thing that he had warned them about for 40 years has come to pass. If this would have been most of us, we probably would have started the book out something like this. I told you so. But you wouldn't listen to me. Instead of saying, I told you so, Jeremiah weeps for his people once again. You would think that at this point, the people would listen to Jeremiah, that they would listen to what he's got to say, but they don't. He's told them this would happen for 40 years, and now he stands there in the ruined city of Jerusalem. You would think they would say, man of God, what does God say? You was right the whole time, but instead they make fun of him. In fact, Jeremiah says in chapter 3, they made up songs and sung songs about me so they could make fun of me. Jeremiah says in verse 4, he said, this suffering has made me appear older than I really am. Have you ever seen somebody that's gone through a difficulty, and in the midst of their difficulty, you say, wow, they look 10 years older than they did last time I saw them? Jeremiah says, this thing makes me look old, verse 4. He said, verse 5, 6, and 7, I feel like there's a wall that's been built around me. I feel like there's no escape. I'm trapped in. I can't get out of this mess. He said in verse 8, he said, oh, in verse 8, I can't even pray. He said, I try to pray, but he doesn't hear me. He said, I cry out and I shout, but he shuts out my prayers. It's interesting. I said this is Jeremiah's condition, but truly this is all of them's condition. In fact, I see two groups of people suffering for two different reasons in this book of Lamentations. Peter describes in 1 Peter 4, verse 13 down through 16. I won't take time to read it, but Peter describes two different reasons why people suffer. Peter said some people suffer because they're evildoers. They do things wrong, they make mistakes, and they suffer for those bad decisions. There are a lot of people that have been rebellious to God, and there were people in Jerusalem that had been rebellious to God. These men and women of Judah refused to worship Jehovah. They worshiped strange gods. They would not keep the commandments. They had hardened their heart to the voice of God. They would not listen, and they were suffering for it. They're a picture of men and women that are struggling today. There are men and women that have done wrong and they're suffering rightfully for the wrongs that they've done. The Bible is clear that the way of a transgressor is hard. It always has been and it always will be. Poor decisions and acts of rebellion always lead to suffering. But there's another group suffering. And this is the group that's hard to understand. Peter said, if you're in this group, rejoice. If you're suffering but you've not done wrong, you've done right, and yet you suffer. Peter said, you rejoice. This is the group we don't understand. They have done nothing wrong, and yet they're suffering. Not only are the idol worshippers suffering, but Jeremiah is suffering. Daniel is in Babylon while he writes this lamentation. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you probably know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in Babylon at this time. Captives. They've done nothing wrong. Grew up under a good king, Josiah. A good preacher, Jeremiah. And they were faithful to God. And yet they're suffering. Sometimes it's hard to accept, but bad things happen to good people. I'm sure I'm not alone tonight. If I was to say there have been times when I've thought to myself, why is this happening to me? I'm sure I'm not alone if I was to say there have been times I've thought to myself, I've not done anything wrong. I don't deserve this. These people were suffering. Jeremiah was suffering. Maybe somebody else even here tonight is suffering. I see Jeremiah's condition, number two. I see Jeremiah's contemplation. Verse 21, our text, Jeremiah says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. As Jeremiah is considering his problem, something turns in his heart. He begins to remember God's mercies. Certainly he is still suffering, but his suffering does not mean that God is not faithful. This realization brings hope to the preacher. In fact, he realizes several things. He realizes God's mercies. He said in verse 22, he said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The reality is if these people got what they deserved, they would have been completely destroyed. There would not have been one Jew left had God had given them what they truly deserved. God could have and rightfully should have completely wiped them from history, but He did not. You see, God had judged them, but he had not consumed them. The mercy of God had stepped right into the middle of their judgment, and mercy prevailed. Can I say that when trials come into our lives, we are quick to question, why is God allowing this to happen to me? In fact, there are some people that even face judgment for bad things they've done wrong, and they wonder, why has this happened to me? But friend, don't kid yourself. You and I don't deserve anything but hell. If you got what you deserved, and if I got what I deserved, we would all be in hell tonight. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. No matter how dark the midnight is, how difficult the day is, hey, it is God's mercy that you are where you are tonight. God has been merciful. I've told you this story before. I remember when I was a teenager, a freshman in high school. I remember standing in a football locker room one time and giving a testimony to those boys I played football with and encouraging them to accept the Savior. And one of them said to me, he said, Josh, I'll get what I got coming to me. I'll get what I deserve. I said, the good thing is you don't have to get what you deserve. You don't have to get what's coming to you. God's been merciful. God gave his son. Jeremiah said, I remember that God has been faithful. Thanks be to God. We didn't get what we deserved. Tonight we sit here in the house of God. We've got the Word of God in our lap. We've got the Spirit of God in our heart. No matter how great the storm is, you have one that walks by your side. He is your constant companion. He will never fail you, and he has never failed you. He is with you. God has mercy even though things are hard. Jeremiah said, I remember that God's not only been merciful, he said, but I remember that God's been faithful. He said in verse 23, he said, they're new every morning. And then I can see him shout, great is thy faithfulness. The fact that they were not consumed was the result of God being faithful. The fact they were not consumed was not because they had done something right to deserve that. The reality is they hadn't been consumed because God was faithful to his word. In Genesis 3:15, God promised a redeemer. He still planned to make that promise good. And if he destroyed all the Jews, where would the Messiah come from? Throughout history, there have been many attacks of the devil and mistakes of men that have tried to stop the word of God, but they never have. He would not allow the devil to stop them. He would not allow man to stop him. He was going to keep his word. Can I say that God always keeps his word? Amen. I remember a couple years ago, a young man coming down to the altar here at church. I believe we're in revival. And he told me, he said, I've done so many things wrong. I don't know if God can forgive me. And I took my Bible and I opened it to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And I read him where God said, if thou shalt confess thy sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive thee of thy sins. I said, you know how I know God will forgive you no matter what you've done? Because his word says he will. Amen. And God's always true to his word. God is always faithful. No matter what you have done, God is faithful. Jeremiah said, I remember God's goodness. He remembered God's goodness. In the midst of his tears comes the words, verse 25, the Lord is good. Do you see it? The Lord is good. You know, it's easy when going through difficulties to become closed off and to become bitter. But can I give you some advice? When going through difficulties, one of the greatest things that you can do is open your eyes to the goodness of God. Amen. Too often we close ourselves off when we're hurting to everything good. And we're just consumed with the sorrow. And that's all we can see. And truthfully, sometimes that's all we want to see. We can get to the place where we don't even want to see anything good. I believe that was what Jeremiah meant when he said, I'm trapped in. I've got walls all around me. But when we open our hearts to the goodness of God, it's like a ray of ray of sunlight shining into our dark world. Amen. Thursday of this week, I was at work, and I was feeling super overwhelmed, and it was just one of those things that had been building and building and building, and I was just so overwhelmed with everything and all the stuff I had to do, and I sent Davina a text. And in that text message, I'm telling her all the stuff that, you know how you do. You talk about all the stuff that's going wrong. But in that text, I started writing, and I texted her this. I said, I know that God is going to help me. I have faith because He always has. You see, in the midst of the darkness, we have to open ourselves up to the goodness of God. See the goodness of God. Can I say, if you're here tonight and you seem shut up into the darkness, open a window to God's goodness. Amen. Let me give you this. I'm done. Lord have mercy. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. Number three, I'm out of here. I see Jeremiah's conclusion. Jeremiah's conclusion. Verse 26, verse 27. Jeremiah said, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Finally, Jeremiah reaches a conclusion. He said, the best thing that I can do is just wait on God. No matter how I feel, no matter how difficult the situation is, I'm just going to wait on God. I've seen it over and over again when difficulties come. People run away from God and they run away from church. That's the worst thing they can do. You say, I'm coming to church, preacher, but I don't know if God's speaking to me. Just keep coming. You say, I'm trying to pray, preacher, but I don't know if God hears me. Keep praying. You say, I'm trying to serve, but it doesn't feel like I'm accomplishing anything. Just keep serving. I'm trying to trust God, but it feels like the darkness will never end. Just keep trusting God. Psalms 30 and verse 5 says, for His anger endureth but a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Jeremiah said, I'm going to wait on God. And while he waits on God, he said, there's a few things I'm going to do. Number one, he said, I'm going to trust. He said, I'm going to learn something about God during this. Verse 25, he said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. He said, while I'm going through this difficulty, I'm going to learn something about God. I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to find God, and I'm going to learn something about God through this. Paul learned this lesson. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, and he said unto me, Paul speaking of God, talking to him, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, I have learned about God that when I am weak, He is strong. Therefore, verse 10, I will take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, when we go through hardships, there's a lesson that God wants us to learn. There's a place He's trying to draw us to. Allow God to teach you something. Not only is he going to learn something about God, he's going to trust God. While you wait, difficulties may still be there. The people were still suffering in Jerusalem. That wasn't going to go away. Yet they could have hope and trust God. In fact, notice what he says in verse 29. He said this in verse 29. He said, if God puts my face in the dirt, I'm going to trust Him. Jeremiah is giving the illustration of somebody being flat on their face, and it's almost like you've got your foot on their head, making them eat the dirt. And Jeremiah said, if he puts my face in the dust, I'm going to trust him. Sounds like our brother Job, who said in the midst of his trial in the 13th chapter and the 15th verse, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Jeremiah said, and I'm done, he said, I'm going to have hope. Verse 31, for the Lord will not cast off forever. Jeremiah said, there's going to be an end to this thing. There'll be an end to this trial. There'll be an end to this tribulation. There'll be a day this ends. And I'm going to trust God. I'm going to learn something about God. And I'm going to have hope that one day God will bring this to a resolution. I remember, I've told you so often about that time in my life where I had the tumor in my arm and had to go to Vanderbilt. I told you that whole story. You know, you could tell me the story probably by now. But I remember as I was walking through that dark valley, there was a verse that God gave me that it is certainly one of those verses you just skip over. God gave me Job during that time of suffering. And Job was a man that suffered. But while I was walking through that difficulty, God gave me a verse. It's in the very last chapter of the book of Job. It won't mean anything to you, but this is the verse God gave me. It's Job 42:16. The Bible says, and after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. And so what kind of verse is that? How did that help you out? But it's those first few words that God gave me, not the whole verse, just the first few words, where it says, and after this lived Job. You know what that means, Brother James? That meant that no matter how bad the difficulty was, there was a day when Job could live again. Amen. There was a day he could go back to normal. He could live. And sometimes we go through hardships and difficulties and we think this will never end. But there'll be a day God lets you live again. Day God lets you smile again. Day God lets you rejoice again. Jeremiah said, this won't last forever. The Lord won't cast us off forever. We'll get to live again. I don't know. I hope that nobody here is going through difficulty. I hope that nobody here is suffering hardships. But if you are, can I give you some advice? Learn something about God while you're walking through this. Trust in God. God won't fail you. And then have hope. One day you'll live again. I wonder, as we bow our heads and we close our eyes, I wonder if there's somebody that needs to pray. I don't know your heart. I hope you're not suffering tonight. I hope tomorrow does not bring you hardships. But if it does, trust God. We'll give you a minute to pray if there's anybody here that needs to pray.